Season 2, Episode 8, You Bet Your Life.
It opens up with the guys going to a dump to find a burnt female corpse with a baby inside of it.
Booyah!
Kind of the worst. And
come on down! Sorry, you sounded like you were doing Price is Right right there.
Today on Burnt Corpse. So they go down to the dump where there's a burnt up corpse, and Simone, after seeing the body, sees that there's some homeless folk around the dump, and goes up and asks if they saw anything last night. And one of those homeless folks is Paul Giamatti.
Yes. The black guy who's homeless is also somebody, too.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I did not recognize him.
I just forgot his name. But he does, like, he's an actor in other things, too.
Oh, Ruben Santiago Hudson.
He's like a character actor. I know I've seen him in other things.
Well, it looks like he was in The Devil's Advocate, nailing it.
Castle, American Gangster. He was in Mr. Brooks. Yeah, he's like a character actor. He's in Billions, Public Morals, The Good Wife. He was in Selma. I mean, every black actor was in Selma, though. That's not fair.
They needed to fill out that crowd.
He plays the same character in NYPD Blue twice, this guy. He plays Otis twice.
Well, he did a good job.
He comes back in 95 and Heaven Can Wait. Get it? Heaven.
Well, anyways, the homeless folks, for a couple of dollars, let them know that a Jeep-type car, a sport utility vehicle, dropped something off and burnt it in the dump, and it turned out it was a person, and they did not know that. I wrote Steven Richards fleecing for money. I don't know what that means.
Steve Richards. He's
Oh, that's right. I now know what we're talking about.
Steve Richards, played by another famous face.
Paul Ben Victor.
Yeah, he plays, he's in The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a lot of other things.
He's one of those faces that, like, once you've seen him, you go, oh, that guy. But then you realize you don't really know what it's from, except for maybe The Wire.
He was Spiros Vondopoulos or Vondis. He was like the, he was the Greek's, like, secondhand man and stuff, yeah. He's also an Entourage. He was in Everybody Hates Chris. He was in a lot of stuff. He's a good actor. He's fun. But he is my favorite informer.
Even more than...
To the precinct.
Even more than Joey Pants?
Oh, 100%.
You like him more than Joey Pants?
Yeah. I like Joey Pants, but I just like this character better. And I even like in later episodes, I don't, what's his name? He becomes an informant for the guys. He's a big, tall, fat guy. He's in the later episodes with, like, with Spader and...
Spader?
With James Spader and Mark Paul Gosselaar when they were there. I forgot his name.
James Spader was in NYPD Blue?
James, not James Spader, Sorensen.
Danny Sorensen, that was Silver Spoons. What was his name? Ricky Schroeder. Ricky
Schroeder, not Spader. Jesus Christ, idiot. Julian, he is the other informant. I really liked him. I thought he was funny.
Julian. Julian's good.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I love Steve Richards because I love how he acts with Donna, and
yeah,
I love how he acts with the guys. I just love Steve Richards.
Steve Richards, like, he plays such a perfect lowlife.
Yeah.
Like, a guy that bottom feeds and, like, treats everybody kind of like shit. And acts like he's bigger than he is and acts like he's more important. That's what that was. I couldn't remember. Steven Richards comes into the precinct and he's like, hey, does anybody have anything on that armed robbery that happened? And what would a person who has information get for that? And then Martinez is like, oh, a couple $100, I guess. And so the guy leaves, and he comes back with a black eye, and he goes, look, here's the deal. I planned it. I'm going to be honest. I planned that robbery. The guy who did it didn't wait for me to get out of prison, and I went to talk to him about it, and he gave me this black eye. And then Martinez is like, so you mean you asked him for a cut? And then he said no? Like, he figures it out right away. The guy's just trying to make money off of something. By being a complete asshole. That's right, that's who Steve Richards is. I was like, what the fuck, who's Steve Richards? That was a very funny line of this whole episode.
I love Steve Richards.
Is this his only episode, or does he have more? I feel like he has more, but I don't remember any others.
No, he's in it, but he comes back. He comes back because there's one time where he tampers with the wire, and Martinez gets really mad at him.
That's this one. That's this one.
A bunch of times. He comes back, I think, two or three times. Two or three times.
That happened in this episode, the wire tampering. Because after he says the guy beat him up after he talked to him about it, they're like, fine, you're going to go back to his place, and you're going to get him to admit that he did it and wear a wire. So then when he gets there and talks to him about it, he is like, whatever, dude, here, just let me get you something, and then we'll never talk about this again. And goes to hand him money, and then the guy, takes the wire off and thinks he's going to walk out of there.
That's right. I'm thinking of another episode where he does something, and they tell him, oh, you can get, $15,000. And then he's at the front desk, and he is, freaking out. I know he comes back again.
The Steve Richards thing, that's going on with Martinez and Medavoy. Because even when he's on the... On the wire, and he's walking upstairs, he says something about Donna. He's like, I'm going to take that money, and I'm going to go on vacation. Maybe I'll take Donna with me. And Greg's like, Donna, what is he talking about, James? Because Greg automatically thinks he's talking about Donna from the front.
This is where Greg's crazy...
jealousy?
Yeah, comes in.
Yeah, he's a puppy dog. A jealous puppy dog that's old and, as you say, kind of a bitch. On the burnt up corpse case, they find out.
Kind of a bitch. He is a bitch.
We disagree about Metaboy all the time. So they come up on the burnt corpse case that it was probably a prostitute. I forgot how they figured that out. I think by the clothes that were burnt up. So they go to the stroll and they start asking around about her, and no one really wants to talk about it. But. Oh, that's right. They got a phone call, a 911 phone call about, a woman getting pulled into a car. So they go to that stroll to ask around. And a fat guy lets him know the exact car that did it. Because he's like...
He's such, a stereotypical, neighborhood watch guy, too. Which is the best.
Well, without him, the whole story, hinges on him. Which is cool that he just is like... Oh, sport utility vehicle pulled her into the car. And he's like, oh, really? Well, thanks to that. He's like, oh, you guys will probably need a license plate. I got every single one. And it's almost like he was asking for a medal. Even though it was cool that he did that. It's like, what are they going to do? Like pat you on the back and say thank you.
Yeah.
They determined that the car belonged to this one guy. And that guy borrowed his car out to his cousin and his friend. And they pull those guys in. And it's a really cool story because both of them immediately tell different stories.
Yeah.
One guy says, there was no hooker, I don't know what you're talking about. The other guy says, we got a hooker, we had sex with her, and then we let her go.
And that right there gets them fucked, basically.
And we mentioned Steve Richards, and he went to go see his prison buddy about the robbery. The guy who did the robbery and one of the guys who burnt up the corpse...
Mm-hmm.
They're connected by a little movie called Con Air.
Yeah, they are.
And when I saw them both in this episode, I was super stoked. Because seeing Con Air folks in anything makes me happy, because that movie's great. And they're both, not the stars of Con Air. They're, background dudes, at best. One's Billy Bedlam.
Well, that other dude, his friend... Not the guy that Steve Richards does the job with, but the other guy. He's also the bad guy in Reindeer Games.
What? Wait, what? Hold on. I need to check this right now. You're talking about the other Hispanic guy that that did the burnt of the woman?
Yeah, not John Cena. Not Cena. Cena. Jose Zuniga?
Well, Jose Zuniga is the guy from...
Con Air, yeah. He's also in Reindeer Games.
Hold on. You're talking crazy. Where is this?
No, he's in Reindeer Games, man. He's Ben Affleck's fucking cellmate.
No, he's not. That was a different dude. I guarantee it. I'm bringing this entire thing to a halt to figure out if this is true.
No, that's fine.
His cellmate was Nick, right? Nick Cassidy? Yeah. Yeah, that was played by James Frain.
No.
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking at it right here.
All right. James Frey?
Frain. F-R-A-I-N. All you need to know is Jose Zuniga and Nick Chunlin. Chunlin? Yeah, Nick Chunlin were both in Con Air, and they're both in this episode. And while you're looking that up, too,
He was in it.
Yeah, he was in it.
I thought they were the same character.
They spout off different stories. One guy is saying, we had sex with a hooker and then we let her go. And the other guy's just saying, we didn't have any hooker, we just drove around, which is preposterous and stupid. And it's awesome because they just know, like, oh, they just have a guy that they're just going to screw over once they get the real story. What's really sad, and I think because you mentioned this episode's really sad, for a couple reasons. But one of the really sad things is a Hispanic woman comes to see Detective Sipowicz. Not Sipowicz. Sees a Simone.
Simone. Looking for a daughter.
And she gives a description, and it pretty much is 100% the daughter.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
And it is the final straw that gets him to get the guy to roll. Because he comes in with a photograph, and he's like, so this is the woman. And, like, the guy kind of twitches, and then he knows, like, yep, this is it. This is the moment where we get him to confess what happened.
Oh, we're fucked, yeah.
But, yeah, and it was also a really, really good scene, because that woman was very believable as a, like, woman from another country whose daughter got caught up with drugs and prostitution, and now...
There's a lot of good acting in this.
Yeah, for real. The guy with the eyebrow ring really didn't do that great of a job. He was one of the guys. Because there was a scene, that eyebrow guy, there's a part where he goes into one of the rooms with Jimmy Smits. And Jimmy Smits is like, well, he goes to open the fridge, and Jimmy Smits just closes it, and he's like, yeah, that's not for you. And then he pulls out a chair, and he's like, sit down. And then the guy pulls out a different chair and sits in it. And it was like, okay, so once they figure out this guy did it, they're just going to treat him like shit the entire process because he's a garbage person.
Well, to be fair, you've never been a fan of people with facial earrings.
I don't have a problem with people with facial earrings.
You've always had a distaste for them.
I don't have a distaste for facial piercings.
That's a joke.
For half a second, I thought you were going to say, well, we all know you have a distaste for Hispanic people. And then I was going to be like, God damn it, Kyle, I'm not racist. The other guy, they show him the picture, and then he eventually says, yeah, we took her into the car, and I forgot what the reason was. But they had a bat, and they just choked her to death, and then they figured it'd be a good idea to just burn her somewhere.
Well, doesn't the dude I thought who was in Reindeer Games, doesn't he, like... He kind of just gives it all up and was like, it was him, he did it all, shit just went down and I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
He kind of gave that explanation.
I think, yeah, he was driving and he said the girl wouldn't get into the car, so then he made her get into the car and I think what he says was they forced her in and then they tried to, like, basically force her down and they held her down with this bat and then choked the life out of her and realized she was dead.
Yeah, were they trying to steal money from her? I thought that they were trying to steal
money. Yeah, that's right. They were trying to steal money off the hooker, but she was like, I'm not getting in there because she knew they didn't have any money. So then they tried to just force her in to take it. But there is a great Sipowicz line with that guy where he says, well, yeah, you were better in yourself banging a hooker. The other really heartbreaking part of this episode, Sipowicz has a meeting with his sponsor, played by Peter Boyle.
Yeah, that's like the smaller, like, Sipowicz is distracted. That's why he kind of comes in and out of this whole thing that's going on.
And Sipowicz meets up with Dan, and Dan has a big bruise on his face, and it's like, it seems like he's been in a fight. And Dan lets Sipowicz know, like, my son Danny, he has some mental issues. When he's on his medication, he does okay, but when he's not, he sometimes gets violent. And Sipowicz kind of... What's so weird is, because in reality, Sipowicz is a character that he has to be, like, lower than his sponsor in reality. Because if it was a real situation, like, it wouldn't be a good idea that his sponsor is, like, needs this much help from him. I don't know how to put this. But his sponsor comes to him and says, oh, I need help with my son. And Sipowicz gets Simone and Martinez to pick up his son, who is played by Enrico Colantoni.
Yeah, he was in Just Shoot Me and that friggin' sweet sci-fi movie with Tim Allen.
Galaxy Quest?
Galaxy Quest, yeah, yeah.
Sweet sci-fi movie with Tim Allen.
It's like the best description. I don't mean that facetiously either. I'm all about that movie.
Galaxy Quest is very good. He's also very good in Galaxy Quest. He's good in most of the stuff he's in, and he kills it in this because he plays like a mentally challenged man.
Yeah. He went full retard.
But he didn't win an award. That's why you don't go full retard.
Don't ever go full retard.
That movie's so funny.
Oh, I forgot about how funny Tropic Thunder was. Oh my god.
We can sit here and just quote lines from that. And but he plays it so perfectly, and they like Sipowicz, like they catch him and they put him in the car and they get him home. And Sipowicz explains to Dan, like, you have to leave him alone. Like, if he can live on his own...
You can't keep taking care of him. He's bigger than you now, and...
If something happens, like...
You can't stop him, yeah.
So, there is, like, at the end of the episode is so, like... Well, it's really, really sad, because even when they catch him, it's, like, so... It makes it really sad, and I don't know how to say this without sounding insensitive... When people play, like, a really, really good mentally challenged person...
Uh-huh.
Even, like, the moments when, like, people are just talking to them and trying to talk them down from something, and they have kind of, like, an episode, it's, like, immediately sad, because it's all miscommunication, and they don't understand each other, and they don't understand what's happening, but, like, these three guys have to carry them and put them in the car. Even though you know it's just actors, like, it just feels uncomfortable... Because he did such a good job.
Is it in this episode or a later episode where they keep mentioning that he stinks like reefer?
Next episode.
Because I found that little tidbit funny. Like, why do we have to mention... What does him being high have to do with it? You know what I mean?
Well, I'll explain that next episode when the cop says it. Because I wrote it down. Because I thought the same thing. Like, why did he say it like that? But there is a reason.
Yeah. Because it was... Dare against drugs, Kirk.
Yeah, drug awareness, resistance, education?
Something like that. Dare to be stupid.
I still want one of those shirts. Those shirts are rad. The black Dare shirts.
Dare to be stupid.
They're going to have to rewrite all of their paperwork now because of how marijuana is just now legal in so many states. Like, California! Smoke them if you got them, California.
California just gave a big middle finger to all those middle states. We should put up a wall. Don't let them have our economy or our weed. Fuck them.
The really sad part is the last scene, which is Dan leaving Danny at his house.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Because
it's got to be hard saying bye to your son, especially since you've taken care of him his whole life, and he has a mental illness, and you don't know if he's gonna be okay.
And he's, you know? And like, because like they're such good actors, both of them, like Peter Boyle and this other guy, Enrico.
Yeah.
When he just looks at him and he says, you're leaving me? Like, it was so like.
That made me think like of the Galaxy Quest character, actually.
You're thinking of Galaxy Quest. I'm thinking of like really heartbreaking shit, and you're thinking about Galaxy Quest.
That's all. Because he kind of talks like that in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, it's true. Know. It is true. He does do that. But it is such a sad moment. All NYPD Blue episodes, they cut to executive producers, much like all those other dramas do. But this one was, like, Dan says goodbye to Danny, and then Sipowicz, like, picks up his bag, and then they walk out, and then he stops on the stoop, and he's like, I just think I'm leaving him. And he's like, you gotta do this, Dan. And then they leave.
Yeah, it was... I mean, I don't know what you do in that situation.
Because, yeah, you can't put yourself in harm's way.
Especially if, like, he's gonna keep hurting you, you know? But, like, do you put him in a home instead? Like, I don't know.
Now, I mean, it's... That is a very hard question. Like, what's more humane for your son? Is it more humane to let him live on his own?
Because if he doesn't stay on his meds, then he's in trouble. And then you're kind of leaving, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have a moral obligation to just put him in a place that's going to make him take his medicine and or look after him and then live your life normally? You know what I mean?
Well, it's also, like, if you visit him constantly, to me, I think that's, like, the only viable option. Because if he lives on his own and then goes off his medication and something happens, but not, like, to some random person.
Yeah.
Like, if he's off his meds and he's walking through the park, because he always has music on, and, like, someone comes up to him, and he just, like, freaks out and hurts them.
Yeah.
Then the question is, well, why were you on your own, or why, like, yeah, so I don't know. It's hard.
No, see, yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, I don't know.
We find out what happens in the further adventures of Dan and Danny in the next episode, which, I mean, spoiler, not spoiler, it's not great. I mean, you don't have a setup like that, and then everyone ends up with candy. Like, it's just...
But they also talk about, like, you can kind of tell that, like, I mean, set up for the next episode, you can kind of tell that Peter Boyle does not want to go.
No, of course not. He doesn't want to leave his son. And I guess that's based on a real thing. Bill Clark had a friend like that.
Oh, really?
Where he had an adult son who needed, like, constant care. I think it ended up way better than what happened. I think they took it into the direction they did because it's a TV show and they can. And they also didn't want to pay Peter Boyle, like, a shit ton of money to stay around forever.
To be there for that long.
So, I mean, that's kind of a big spoiler for what happens, but it is the truth. The robbery that Steve Richards was talking about, the only thing was to rob a pawn shop wearing,
Groucho glasses,
which is not, like, that mastermind of an idea. Like, it's...
like he's, but Steve is pissed, man. Steve's angry. He's not getting his money.
Like, which is so stupid to say, like, that was my idea, bro. Putting on a mask and stealing stuff. Like...
I came up with that idea.
Came up with that idea so long ago, bro.
Yeah. I don't care. Steve Richards is my favorite.
Still your favorite. All right.
I fucking love Steve Richards. Joey Pants is cool. It's just not... I don't know. It's just something about the way he decided to play Steve Richards that was my favorite.
I think also... Well, now that you mention it, because we'll get to Joey Pants pretty soon. I think Steve Richards is a little more realistic than Joey Pants. Maybe that's why. Like, Joey Pants, like, he's white... He's white as snow, but he dresses like he's celebrating Kwanzaa.
Wow.
That's 100% true. Like, when we get there, you'll 100% agree with me. He also, I don't know, his attitude's a little... Joey Pants always kind of has a dick attitude, though, in everything he's doing.
Yeah, he comes off a little... No, Joey Pants just comes off super smooth in this.
Are you sure?
But there's just something about... Yeah.
I don't know.
He's always being the smooth guy with Sipowicz and with Fancy and shit. And he's always trying to, like, have the one-up on him. But, like, I don't know. There's just something about Steve Richards. He's my favorite.
Just hitting on Donna and saying all the wrong things. And
all this time doing all the wrong things, just being super skeevy.
Also, they only give him $50 instead of $200.
Yeah, for turning off the thing.
And he immediately takes the $50 and goes, "Hey Donna, you want to split a $50 steak?" Or like, like, that is not smooth at all, bro. Like, that is, which basically means you took the money and said, "Now I have the money to take you out." Like, yeah. That's a pretty terrible plan.
I got this money in a skeevy ass way. You want to go on a date? And you saw the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean. I mean, who cares? We have all the time in the world, but we should be wrapping it up. Like, if you're
Daba Abba Amba?
Sounds like a song from, like, the 90s from a guy really going for it.
You sounded like Val Kilmer in The Island of Dr. Moreau.
That movie's great. I own it. If you're Donna Abba Dondo, like, you must be getting hit on by creeps constantly, right?
Oh, especially in New York?
Yeah, like it must be all
day. I feel like
she
gets hit on by creeps, at least 30 creeps, walking to work. If it's New York. 100%. Just some of the shit that I... This is the way I've seen people talk to each other around here. 100%.
Hundo. Well, you have anything else to say more about this episode?
No. Not really.
All right.
It's one of my more favorite episodes because a dude with AIDS gets shot.
A dude with AIDS gets shot.
Just kidding. That was last episode.
That was last episode. every single episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod and on Instagram Asher Brothers Podcast. We had a call to action last episode, but I doubt you did the first one, so I don't know what's the point of doing another one.
Okay.
But if you are, do you prefer Joey Pants or Steve Richards?
Yeah. Let us know.
Do you? Because I don't. I don't know.
And if you were sisters, which one would you steal?
We just build on the call to action every.
Yeah.
So by season 12. So it's my season 12.
If you were sisters, which one would you steal and why?
By season 12, it's like all these steps, and it's completely convoluted.
We can do it. We can make it work.
Oh, man. Watch NYPD Blue. It's the best.
It is the best.